several places to read tonight. I have a lengthy, if the Lord would allow. If you want to, we're going to read a very familiar passage of Scripture in the third chapter of Revelation. We studied somewhat on this in Sunday school, thought that wouldn't touch on it again, but we're going to anyhow. So then we're going to turn elsewhere, but we'll read that first. We'll start with the third chapter of Revelation, the 14th verse. It says, "Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold and hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. I know that many said that this seventh church here is the church age that we live in. All seven churches being church ages, and then others would see it as something else. But one thing we know, that is that it is the Bible. We know that we can read here in the third chapter of Revelations, and we can no doubt find a culture in this present world. Though you might have to travel far, you might even be able to find those seven churches, as it were, right in the United States of America. One that you might say, that's a little bit like this church, or that's a little bit like that church. And we'll have to say today that no doubt there are a lot of lukewarm churches in our country. But we find out that the answer to that, and what a sad state of affairs, to say to yourself or to anybody else that I'm in need of nothing, and you're really, as the Bible says, are poor and wretched, miserable, blind and naked. And we was reading that, and we hear the answer that what must we do? It says, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire." That's how we're going to find a wealth in this life, and to put on white raiment. That's how we're going to cover up our nakedness, and to anoint our eyes with eye salve that we might see. And I was reading that, and then it goes on to say here, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." And I was thinking about that, and we was listening, and we had another verse on our mind. If you'd want to, you can turn to Proverbs, the 29th chapter, the first verse. It says, "He that being oft reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Let's read that again. "He that being oft reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Well, we read in Revelations here that it says that the Lord reproves and chastens those that are His. If you go, if you would, you can turn to Isaiah. And we can look in Isaiah, if you will, in the 48th verse and the 10th chapter. It says, "Behold," or I'm sorry, the 48th chapter and the 10th verse. It says, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." And then if you would want to, you can turn to Zechariah, the 13th chapter, and we're going to read the 9th verse. It says, "And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined. and will try them as gold is tried. Now they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. We hear in Revelation the 3rd chapter, bring of me gold tried in the fire. We find here in Zechariah and in Isaiah, it speaks about a refinement. That's persecution. I like what it said in Zechariah. The purpose of it all is, though this is speaking of the latter days, no doubt, but that how the Lord can use these things to bring about a purification of the church. It says, I will bring a third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name and I will hear them and I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. That's the purpose, is it not? That's the purpose of trials in life. We live in a culture today that don't want to feel no hardship, don't want to experience no pain, and don't realize that we're destitute, that we're naked, and they think that we have everything because we're not experiencing these hardships. If you would, you can turn one more place. In Hebrews, in the 12th verse, it says in the 8th, we'll get it right again. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the 8th verse, and it says, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof are ye partakers? Then are ye bastards and not sons. Let's read the 7th verse. It says, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which correct us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasteneth us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening of the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Here we are reading about a chastisement and the promise of what might come by it, but yet with the stipulation, if we are exercised thereby. That there is a chastening that takes place. We know that if we're not chastened, well then we're bastards and not sons. We know what's the significance of that. Well, we can look at the children of Abraham that were born unto him by concubines. We can look at the children of Israel but others in the Bible that had children that did not receive an inheritance, not bastards, mind you, but children that were not of his first marriage. But we find here that's what this is talking about, that you being bastards and not sons, that you would not be partakers of the inheritance of God. And I'm thankful that each and every one of us that is chastened, that we can rejoice in that. We can rejoice in the fact that through our chastisement that the Lord loves us, and it's not before His. It's not because He has got a selfish pride, as a lot of fathers do, and they say to their sons, you're going to do it because you're not going to dirty my name. I'm going to whip you. I'm going to make you obey because you bear not my name. But Jesus Christ desires that we might walk in holiness, that we might be able to experience it ourselves, so that we not have to suffer. We find that in Revelation, the 3rd chapter, that there are those that are cold and indifferent on God. Those that say I need nothing, but yet they are destitute. Well, I want to tell you today, church, we need to look back at what God has brought us from. We need to look and see what we had as the church that lost its first love. I pray to God that each and every one of us might realize and look in our in the mirror. You know, there's a fellow in particular that I
see that he needs to brush his teeth. But you know, it was a good, just occurred to me today that I look in the mirror while I brush my teeth. If I didn't come to the mirror and stand before it and brush my teeth, no doubt Daryl wouldn't look at his expression very often at all. I don't comb my hair. I keep it short enough. I wash it and throw it back. I don't need to look in the mirror and I comb my hair. But yet the man, no doubt, that needs to see his reflection in the mirror to be able to see, needs to brush his teeth. Never comes there, but never enters the room and looks in that mirror. Why? Because first off, Daryl entered that room for the sole purpose of brushing his teeth, and in doing so, he was able to see his reflection. My desire is for the church tonight to stand before the Word of God, whether you might think you need to or not, and look at your reflection. Turn the light on of the Holy Spirit and see if you are in need of anything. Are we so arrogant that we would say we're in need of nothing, as the world does today? You know, there are a lot of people in the United States of America that would think it's foolish that we would serve an almighty God. I would think that it's beneath their intellect to serve any God. After all, they feel that there is no God that exists. But we can look in their life and we see that they are a worshiper of many gods. The God of their job. The God of their pleasure. And they spend their life and chase them. Nothing but of joy, but yet not joy. Pleasure, as it were. And we see it more in this world and in this country today than anywhere. Because we live in a country where really you're it's a pluralistic society. It's okay that you believe this to a lot of people. But when we say that He is the resurrection, that there is none that can come to the Father but by Him, there are those that are offended. But I want to tell you tonight, let us accept the chastening of God, that we might be better by it, that we might be a son and daughter of the Most High God. Because there's the danger of what takes place, as we've already read in Proverbs. We can read it again if you will. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now listen to me. The chastisement of God will bring one or two things. It'll bring a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Or if all times being reproved and you stiffen your neck, it'll bring your destruction. I cry out if I could to this whole world that they could hear my voice. You must understand, when we harden our heart and stiffen our neck, we have no promise of that still small voice coming to us again. We see some, as it were, that would run away. I've seen a man just the other week. The conviction of the Lord was so strong. Me and my daddy was talking about it. I guess I ain't never seen somebody stand so low. That's what he was doing, wasn't he, church? church. We're the only one I've seen them take. Where the conviction of the Holy Spirit be so strong. And they'll just sit down, but I ain't never seen somebody stand so low. I've been in out the ways. But yet they would not come. I pray to God that David, that the Lord will give that individual another opportunity. But if he does it, in his abundant mercy, that man can stand before God and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God revealed himself to him that day. Listen, he's done it to me and you. Those that have answered the call, you know there are those that would try to determine whether this one's right or this one's right or this one here or that one there. I'm not nobody's judge, but I want to tell you this I know from the Holy Scripture, that there are those that gather together amongst Christians, that when they stand before God, they'll think they were saved, and they'll find that they were lost, and how they got from there to here is a simple fact, that they hardened their heart. Some would stiffen their neck and say, I'll do it as I see fit. And they come not around the family of God. Some even, if they could hear this message tonight, it could be a salve to their eyes, but they're not here. They flee from the presence of God's children. And they think because they have left the face of God's children that somehow that everything will be all right, and don't realize that it's just that old neck a little bit stiffer. Him that is often reproved hardeneth his neck. What's the Bible say? Shall be broken without remedy, shall be cut off. Suddenly, shall be destroyed. That without remedy. Without a remedy. A doctor, you say, I have cancer. Oh, what are my options? Well, we can perform a surgery. And we can remove that cancer. We can give you chemotherapy. We can give you radiation treatments. That's not what the Bible's speaking about. It says, shall be destroyed and without remedy. That's, as it were, not me having a conversation with a doctor about my plan. But me lying there in the presence of an undertaker. So what shall it be for us, church, if we've grown lukewarm? Why would it that God would rather us to be hot or cold? You know, as a kid, I can remember that verse, and I thought, well, I can understand why He'd want you hot, but why cold? You know, I mean, cold's going to get you the same word lukewarm's going to get you. But those that are cold know they are. Know that if we express the wonderful plan of salvation, they know that they're not living according to the Holy Scripture. But that man or that woman that's lukewarm has everything they think they need, and yet has nothing. You know, we're so truly detached from hardship. Well, that preachers can get up in the pulpits in the United States of America and they can say anything. And really, outside of making people mad, you know, I've preached the Bible and it's made people mad before. I mean red-faced mad. But you know, I never really feared for my life. There was one time that I was visiting door to door, and I knocked on a man's door just to invite him to church. And I don't know
ever happened to that man in his life. But he got so angry, and all I said is, "Hello, my name's Darrell Hensley. I've been preaching down at this church just down the road, and I would like to invite you." And he said, "Get off my property." He said, "They've been to my house before. You've been to my house before." And I began to apologize, because I knew that I'd never been to his house before, never been going door to door. I said, "No, I'm sorry, sir. That must have been someone." He said, "Get off of my land." And he started fooling with something there at the door. And I got to thinking, I said, you know, like you prop up a broom or a gun. I thought, well, surely that guy ain't got a gun. And I left. I turned my back. And he was just so angry and was cursing. And I don't know what had ever took place in his life that caused him to have such a hatred for anybody that would invite him to church. But that's the closest I ever come to thinking that I might actually experience physical, well, that and another one, physical pain because of the stand I took on the Bible. But you know, because a preacher can get up and say anything and really not have to suffer because of it, and that's the very thing they do. They get up and they'll say anything. And the wolves in sheep's clothing run rampant. And the hypocrite, the one that is in it for gain, goes on and on. You know, what would do this country and any country real well is some persecution for the church. I'm ashamed to admit that, and there'd be a lot of people say, "Darrell, what are you talking about? You're crazy. Do you want that?" No, I don't want that at all. But I want to tell you, it would get rid of a lot of people that's in it for all the wrong reasons, ain't it? Really destroy the doctrines of serve God and He'll make you rich. And the worldly riches. Serve God and everybody will love you. I'm thankful that those whom God loves, He chastens. And I'm thankful of His children that will kneel down and bow beneath His chastisement can be better by it. Those that don't will be broken. Let's get some song to sing. How many of you, when you was little, ran barefooted through the yard? We used to have that little white clover in the yard. And I don't know how many times we'd run barefooted and we'd step on a honeybee. And its last moments of life, it would sting us on the foot. And had it been able to fly away anyway, we know them honeybees, they die with that sting. You know, I think that a lot of people, when they wrestle with God as Jacob did, but not seeking a blessing, but seeking their own selfish will, that a lot of times we're like that honeybee. We think that we're going to do what we want to do. We'll shake our fist at God. But we can't even do as that little honeybee. We need to realize that God holds our life in His hand. And He can leave it open and let us dwell there in the safety of the palm of His hand. Or He can close it and crush us to powder. I've felt the squeezing of God's hand many a time in my life. And it was for my betterment. But if I would be so foolish as to say, no, God, I'm going to continue to sit on this flower and do what I want to. We'll experience what that honeybee experiences when he's so careless not to move at the danger ahead. There's a lot that hear this message and say, what on earth is he just got done preaching? Don't he know that we are eternally secure within the family of God? Don't he know that we won't rebel against God if we're true Christians? To which I would reply, I do know that no Christians ever shook his fist at God. And I do know, regardless of how we would perceive ourselves, saved or lost or backslidden or whatever, that if we harden our neck, we'll be destroyed without a remedy. See, the world wants to know, well, yeah, but if I've been saved, he won't destroy me, right? If you're saved, you won't harden your neck. Have you fled from the face of God? When we stand before Him, ignorance won't be an excuse. God, I didn't go to get the eye salve put on. Lord, I was too blind to get there. God made a way. We must follow Him.